This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Is what it feels like when you walk outside of the door of my house, and I live in Texas. Texans are now finding that they're in the middle of a crazy heat wave, as are a lot of other places in the west of the United States, western part of the United States. And the east was socked with it just a week ago. It's wild because it's really straining the grid, if you will. So besides shattering records, it's sparking wildfires. And there are some concerns about outages because of what's happening to the power grid. Hey, hey, everyone. Just another day in the life. You know what I mean? This is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining me wherever you are joining me from. Let me tell you a little bit more about the heat and the grid and what could happen. In Texas, they're asking people to conserve energy. I got a text and an email about 2 hours before I jumped on the air asking all people that were in my with the electric company I'm with to unplug things that we weren't using and to turn up where we normally would keep the air, to turn it up at least 5 degrees more. So how about that? And Texas isn't the only place. It's just a place that people are really looking at because of what happened in the winter when things collapsed for so many people and we had 100 people die because they didn't winterize the areas that needed to be winterized that affected too many across the state when it came to electricity. So now it's about conserving energy to avoid straining the power grid. And then what you have in so many other places with this heat is you have wildfires that are springing up. In California, that is crazy scary always when it becomes dry and you see how it can jump over the highway, like the 101, if it gets into that canyon area all around Los Angeles. And in the north, the same thing. And we certainly know in the last 4 or 5 years there have been some horrific fires, but the heat wave, it looks like there is no end in sight to the higher temperatures where it feels like it's 118 degrees and where these grids are being strained. I mean, this historic heat wave, 100 degree heat to 40 million people, 40 million in the western U.S. So, like I said, you hear about these records that are dropping. When you talk about half of the West gripped by not just, it's not like, oh, it's hot. It's extreme or what they call exceptional drought weather, which are, you don't want to hear that. Because then what happens is it takes a human toll and it becomes a weather killer. And people can't survive it. You know, temperatures in Las Vegas, 113 degrees. And that's supposed to continue all the way through the weekend. And what's interesting is a 5-day stretch of what they call max temperatures at or above 113 has only happened actually 5 times in Las Vegas for the period of record dating back to 1937. So they're saying in Arizona, same thing. There's more records that could be set in Nevada and Arizona. In Arizona, 128 degrees, that's what it was on June 29th, 1994. Can you imagine? Oh, Phoenix has reached 112 degrees through the week. And, you know, it didn't fall below 90 until after 3 a.m., wow, that is crazy, crazy, crazy hot. So look for the the environmental quality warnings that a lot of people are having pop up, and they're saying, what is this? And, of course, it's the air quality alert of what's happening around you. In Phoenix, they've been seeing that a lot with an increase in what they call adverse health effects. So they put that off just to remind you, give you as many reminders as possible of what you're looking at. Like in California, they're seeing just crazy places like Redding and Sacramento and Fresno, excessive heat warnings where highs are like 110 degrees. I mean, they are baking. The Rockies, they're getting it. And even in Alberta, Canada, we've talked to people in Alberta on this show here and there this past probably 5 months. Billings, Montana, I mentioned this the other day, astonishing, 109 degrees. Wow. Yep, so pretty tough. Pretty tough to deal with that. All right, speaking of tough, I think it's going to be tough to walk away with a meeting, Joe Biden and Putin, with anything in hand that will be solid and will change something in our lives, because the two meet, the Russian president and the U.S. president. I mean, you think it has to happen. If you're the president, who do you meet with? You meet with all the world leaders. And it has been pretty tense between Biden and Putin. There's no question about that. So I guess reestablishing whatever the typical baloney dialogue is, because I don't think anything's coming out of a Putin conversation. In fact, most people would say that relationship is just in a post-Cold War low. But, you know, Putin is the one who really controls the dials of dialing it up or down when it comes to cybersecurity. That's going to be a hot one. Talking about a couple of other issues, of course, anything human rights issues, the Ukraine, that's going to be a sticky one, the conversation on the Ukraine, etc. I mean, the Kremlin, I think, is not holding their breath or looking for anything significant to happen. I mean, there have been U.S. sanctions, there have been diplomatic expulsions, and what would be a tangible outcome from this summit? Well, I mean, I guess the envoys go back to their posts, the expulsions, so that they would be able to go back to the U.S. You know, the counterparts, like John Sullivan, the U.S. ambassador to Russia, and his counterpart, they've been back in their home country since April. So probably that's it. I don't see anything else happening that's going to really shake the world up in a positive direction. I mean, really, the state-run media in Russia, they're praising Putin's attitude of being kind of meh, come see, come saw, kind of blasé ahead of the summit. Even Biden's decision not to hold a joint news conference with Putin after the summit, I think, kind of, they think, signals that the Americans are nervous. This is what they're saying in Russia, because of the over-expectations. But we don't have them here in Russia. It's just a regular day for us. A necessity, but will it ease the tensions? Maybe, when they look eye to eye, but I don't think it changes anything. I don't think any kind of policy or agreements come out of that. Too bad, right? Meet you on the other side.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Conversation with Walter Brown, who, boy, he'd be the bookend to me. He's interviewed lots and lots of interesting people in his sports career. Even at one point, he was the voice of Stanford. He has some really funny stories, and some interviews that he did include the great Muhammad Ali, Gary Player, the former golfer who still probably could crush all of us. It was incredible for me to talk to Gary Player, and he talked to him several times. And Jesse Owens, his conversation with Jesse Owens and some other amazing people that he's talked to over his career. It was fun to have a conversation with someone like Walt. He steps into the man cave this time around. I guess that's a good way to put it. And Jessica Mendes will join us from Australia, and she's written a book, two children's books, about two different dogs, a Whippet and a Kelpie. And I looked up, and I guess I'll save it. I looked up a Kelpie because I didn't really know what a Kelpie was. I didn't know the characteristics of a Kelpie from looking at the illustrations of the book I did, but I didn't know the characteristics of the Kelpie, and it was really fascinating to me. It's interesting when you decide you're going to, you know, when you decide you're going to do anything when it comes to animals, do you use your own? Do you kind of, it's just like when you write novels and you allude to certain people, who are the people in your life that think it's them? That can be a dangerous thing, by the way. I think that's why it's taken me so long to go through my novel, because I know so many different people that will think the characteristics of some of the characters that they might not like are them. And it's not. It's like a composite. But then you got to convince, or maybe you don't have to convince people of that. I don't know that it's going to take a lot of convincing eventually for people to want to get electric cars. I mean, you know, EV is coming. We know that. I just looked at something, a Bloomberg report, and I thought this was interesting. They project EVs to account for 58% of all new global passenger car sales, any kind of vehicles actually, by 2040. So think about that. So that's 19 years. Auto dealers are already adapting to the shift. 2.3 thousand Ford dealers in the U.S. already are plunking down $50K to be EV certified. Right? But here's the thing. It's, you gotta have the charging stations. You gotta have the, all of that. You have to have that way to be able to do that. I think that's the panic of some people. You know? What happens with these franchises, right? There's going to be huge changes. GM's making them. Ford is making those changes. I mean, inevitably knowing, like, GM is going to spend $27 billion on EV models through 2025, and they want to be all EV by 2035. Ford is dropping $22 billion on them, and they're aiming for a 40% plug-in fleet by 2030. So, people, when I say that this show is the conversation, is the buzz in my backyard and yours, this affects all of us if you drive at all. What kind of car are you driving? And if you look at, I just mapped this out in my head. I was thinking, how long do you keep a car? They're saying that a lot of people during the pandemic and still now are keeping their cars for, like, you know, 12 years. So start to do the math on that. And then look at your age and where you are and all of that, and what you maybe wanted to drive, or, because, you know, that's what we do. Here's what we think we'll be in. You have to plan, you probably have to plan for one of the EV models, whether you like it or not. I'm the last person on the planet. I will not make that shift from oil. I'm not going to do it. I think there's a lot of people that aren't going to be totally psyched about that, but this is coming. It's down. It's absolutely down the road. All industry car makers are going all in on electric vehicles. I mean, I just told you how much GM was spending and how much Ford was spending, and then what the auto dealers themselves are doing, because they realize this is the trend. This is what's going to happen. I mean, look around, whether you live in a rural area or if you live in a, you know, kind of close to a big city or in a big city, are you seeing more charging stations? Are you seeing more people driving electric cars? I haven't noticed a huge amount, and there are more charging stations that are popping up, but I would still say that's just a tiny dent. I mean, like three, if I was going to take a percentage, 3 to 5% maybe. And I could be way off. That's unofficial. I don't know that for sure. But just by me eyeballing and moving around enough to look, and of course, you know, I could be way off base, but I don't see a lot of charging stations. I know that. So it's interesting. That's futuristic. That's something to look at. Here's something else that is kind of frightening, right? Quantum hacking. Do you know what quantum hacking is? So think of the ways that you can be pulled into that nightmare of being hacked, like phishing attacks. Well, now they have this quantum hacking term that's being thrown out around a lot. And think of the post-quantum encryption. They're raising $400 million in planned public in a planned public listing, because it's a big money problem. There's a company called ArkIt, and it's a London-based startup, and they're preparing the corporate world for a future where no, not secret classified data, but no data is safe. So quantum hacking could completely change cybersecurity. The way most digital companies and services keep your data safe is through a 1970s technique. Did you hear I said 1970s? A 1970s technique called PKI, Public Key Infrastructure. You've heard me talk about the key when there's ransomware attacks. So the cryptography technique uses prime numbers and a mix of public and private keys. That's the same tech powering crypto. But quantum computing is different. It's a term that is used to reference, I just read about this in Hustle. It's a term that's used to reference computing that uses the state, you ready for this? I had to like read this three times. I had too much coffee. It's uses the state of atoms. So, to compute as opposed to silicon switches like today's computers. The result is a computer so powerful it's able to break the PKI. So many services on the internet use PKI to keep information like financial transactions, web browsing. That's what we all do, right? You go to your bank, or you're on the web browsing, emails that are coming in. Have you ever had your email hacked? I have. That would render PKI obsolete. And the entire internet, let me say this again, the entire internet becomes susceptible to hackers. So this company in London is developing post-quantum forms of encryption that is unbreakable even for the fastest quantum computer. But they got to convince businesses. This is the hardest part, as you know from the people that are experts that I've had on this show. The challenge is convincing businesses to prepare for the transition before they get burned. Because nobody really knows when a full-fledged quantum computer capable of cracking encryption is going to exist. You know, IBM plans to build a huge processor 10 times larger than the largest today by 2023. But still, that's 1,000 times smaller than what's going to be needed. It is so frightening to me to think about that, right? That this has to happen because quantum computing will just wipe us all out. I mean, no data. Just think of that. No data would be safe. All right, coming up, a conversation with Walter Brown.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden wraps up his first overseas trip on Wednesday with a summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The meeting is expected to last 4 to 5 hours with several sessions during that stretch. Many have questioned what President Biden will be able to gain from the meeting. Former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, says the president should take a Cold War stance with Putin. He tells CNBC that on many issues, the two countries should just agree to disagree.
Well, it's tricky because you want to cooperate on things that you can, but you don't want to sound too chummy. You want to push back on things where we disagree, and the list of disagreements is a lot longer than the list of potential agreements. And so that's the challenge for President Biden into this meeting. It reminds me of older days, Soviet Cold War days, when we met with Soviet leaders, but we didn't check our values at the door, and we agreed to disagree about a lot of things.
This is USA Radio News. The drought gripping much of the West could have serious repercussions for millions. Tim Berg explains.
A decrease in the level of water coming from the Colorado River is a cause for concern in the western United States and Mexico. The Bureau of Reclamation says 2 years of drought have reduced the water flowing into Lake Mead and Lake Powell. That's a problem since the river provides more than 40 million people in Colorado, Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. Millions of gallons of water from the river are also promised to Mexico as part of a treaty signed in 1944. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And the bill to make Juneteenth a federal holiday unanimously passed the Senate on Tuesday. The holiday, which is celebrated on June 19th, commemorates the abolishment of slavery in the U.S. and is recognized as a holiday in several states. The bill, sponsored by Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn, now heads to the House. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
I'm going to introduce you to someone who's met just as many famous people as me, probably more, and had an incredible career and has a lot of stories to tell. His name is Walter Brown, and his book is Athletes, Celebrities, Personal Moments. Walter, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, you can call me Walt. That's what they did.
All right, there you go, Walt. So, first of all, tell us...
The rest of the title is the 60s and 70s, because that is... part of when I was very active, and that's during the span that I talked to most of the major names that there were, and a lot of those were silent conversations that never really got that much published, and nobody else except me, you now at the time when you read the book, know what was going on.
Yeah, so I know it's hard to boil this down because people always ask me this question, but you definitely have answers for this. So who were the... I guess the most famous people you interviewed that really left an impression on you?
Well, Muhammad Ali and Jesse Owens probably topped the list. Ali is amazing. Was amazing. I mean, this guy, other people would be trying to shut you off and think you're racial, whatever, whatever. He's smiling. He's running around the room with a little teenage white girl that was a national champion in Junior Olympics, you know. I mean, it's the guy was amazing. He really was.
And did you? I mean, you saw him box, and you certainly know about the fights. Watch the fights, and I think something gets lost also in his talent because, as you said, 60s and 70s, especially when he first was on the scene, because he wasn't necessarily given a lot of credit in the beginning.
No, and of course, even though he stood for the national anthem and did all that type of stuff. He refused to go to Vietnam and went to jail. And something maybe everybody should have done, given the fact that that whole Vietnam War, that's a whole other part of the thing. And it was put together by JFK. And this is not in the book, but I was a naval officer. Well, that may have been in the book. I don't know. But during my days as a naval officer, I had high clearance. And before the Vietnam War started, John Kennedy, as president, was hiring these private whatevers to go in and bomb the area right next to Vietnam. That's not in the book, but that is true.
Wow. And you, I mean, you have so many stories. That's what I said right at the top. But you talked about Jesse Owens. Tell us about Jesse Owens, because that's incredibly special to have spent some time with him.
Yeah. And the thing is, with Jesse, the word was that he was returning to Germany, Berlin, the first time since he'd won four Olympic gold medals in 1934, when Hitler was there, and neo-Nazis, and here's this black guy winning four Olympic gold medals, and so he's returning the first time, so he's back, and I'm called at home saying, do I want to go in and interview him? He's at the airport, and this is in Lincoln, Nebraska, and so I said, yeah. So I was the only TV station in Lincoln at that time, and I think still. And so the other people out there are newspapers and radio, and they're talking to them. And I arrive, and they quit their conversation. I introduce myself, and so we talk, and it just what he says is right now. I'm talking about it. It raises the hair in the back of my neck. He's talking about that being back there for the first time and remembering and. His life will pass before him in less than 10 seconds and all this stuff. And then we finish, and he says, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Well, I don't drink coffee, but anyway, I said, yes. And so we go on inside, and he's waiting for an airplane flight. And we talk for an hour and a half. And it's in the book, but I will bet you that here, too. He starts lighting cigarettes. And here's this greatest track star of all time, chain smoking. And before I got a chance to talk to him again, which I thought I was going to do the next year, he's dead from lung cancer.
Wow.
And, you know, that's one of the, well, there's lots of them, but that's one of the things in the book that, I'm not sure how well people would know he died of lung cancer, I guess, but I'm not sure how much of the rest of this puts together. And in fact, I had a couple of athletes over the years that were friendly, and in fact, one of the others was Gil Hodges, who was the Dodgers, star. When I was, broadcasting Armed Forces Radio for parts of three seasons of the Dodgers, and Gil was the friendliest of the bunch, and he was really great. But he would duck behind the stands occasionally, well, occasionally, regularly, to smoke. And he died of lung cancer. So.
Wow.
It'd be a message that even is smoking.
Right.
If you haven't already seen the stuff on TV, you know, come on now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Save your life.
yeah, that's interesting. And, what's great about the book, and it's athletes, celebrities, you know, personal moments, 60s and 70s, as you said, Walt Brown, you can get it on Amazon. You talked to Gary Player, you talked to Rod Laver, so many others. How did you feel that you had this access? What was that like to have access to these amazing superstars in sports?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily, I was very shy. And the reason I think I got into broadcasting was I was so shy, I wanted to be able to talk to people. When I was in high school, my parents were both teachers. They thought I should be a math teacher. And anytime I've mentioned broadcasting, they know, you know, you're a math teacher. And so I just didn't talk about even that. And so I wanted to go to become a broadcaster. So I did it. And I like sports. I didn't think I was good enough to be a player. So I figured if I wasn't an athlete, maybe I could describe it. And my first thought was newspaper. And then I thought, man, maybe, because I thought broadcasting would be too difficult to describing everything. And I thought, oh, let's try it. And so I wanted to go to a college that had a campus radio station. And there were only two in the West at that time. I graduated high school in 1953, so two in this area at that time that had campus radio stations, and one was Stanford. And a senior year in high school, this naval recruiter came on about an ROTC scholarship. And I had my doubts because at that time everybody spends time being drafted. And I thought, why should I spend additional time in service? And then on top of that, have 8 years of regular reserves where you go to a meeting every once a month. And so I really doubted about that. But the more I'm thinking about this, the more I think I really want to have that campus radio station where I can do play-by-play. And so I took the test and I passed it in the Navy test. And so then I write to Stanford saying, I passed the Navy test, but I have to take the SAT. And they said, no, the Navy test is more difficult, we won't know about it unless you pass it. Well, I already knew I passed it, so I didn't even take the SAT. And the only place I applied, because otherwise I would have gone to junior college, was Stanford. And that's the only place I applied, and I got in. And I was on the campus radio station 4 years doing play-by-play. And I was marginal for my grade point average the first couple of years because I was had to take certain courses that I had to take them. But, you know, I wasn't that enthused. The last 2 years I was taking classes I was more enthused about. But the main thing was that I was spending most of my time, virtually all my time, in extracurricular activity. And so the basketball was the interesting thing because in those days, maybe even today, the people that are hired to do the college football broadcast also end up having to do the basketball, and they don't even know what they're doing half the time. And so I'm trying to figure out how to do basketball, and so I go to practices and I talk to coaches, and so I start describing basketball. And I'm having people say, well, you're better than the guy that, you know, who was born doing the regular broadcast on real radio. And so I continued on, and then at Armed Forces Radio, I did the NBA for the first year there on the West Coast. And more and more of this, and to the point, and even though I said I was shy and was and am, less so now. I'll let my ego speak here because I've had people tell me that they thought I was one of the top two or three radio or basketball broadcasters that they'd ever heard. And certainly, I think was, even though I think I did some fine baseball and later some pretty good football and other things and track and field stuff, but I do think in auto racing, I do think that the basketball was probably my, you know, if you're comparing people, the other things I did, there were others that were just as good, maybe better. And the basketball, though, was really was an interesting challenge. And what I did was different than what almost anybody else did because I described the action. And you get very few people at that time on radio, and now I think with TV, you know, who describes, they're just looking at a picture.
Wow, I love that. I love that story about how you were able to do that, make that transition, and then set yourself apart. And the book, you do set yourself apart, and the stories are fascinating.
I was a published poet, photographer also, kissed the Barney Stone, was bitten by a tsetse fly and climbed the Great Wall of China.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Kate.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We're going to Melbourne, Australia. She's in our virtual green room. Jessica Mendes joins us, and she's got two really fascinating children's books. And I'm thinking, gosh, birthday parties, kindergarten graduations, so many kids of actually different ages that could really appreciate these stories. Wally the Whippet, Kay the Kelpie. So, Jessica, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Children's books. How does somebody who's in the safety world jump into writing children's books? And they're so well done. How did this happen?
It's kind of one of those weird stories where I fell into it. Essentially, I'm from Melbourne, and we were all working from home for almost probably a year. And because of the pandemic lockdown, and I'm from Melbourne, where it's probably one of the harshest lockdowns in the world at the time, I guess, where you couldn't go outside for longer than 30 minutes, or, you know, you could only go out for groceries. And so it was a little bit stressful at the time. And I was sort of panic eating a little bit, stress eating. And I noticed that our two dogs were just obsessed with the concept of food. Every time I opened the fridge or the pantry or a little ruffle of the bag, they were just there and obsessed, and they would cry until they got food and shake. And I just thought this would be an adorable children's book.
So then that led you to the book, and you have dogs, like you said.
I have two dogs. Yes. Yeah.
So tell us the real name of the dogs you have and what they are.
Yeah, sure. So Wally the Whippet is sort of a hybrid of my two beautiful dogs, Mia, who's a rescue whippet, and Frankie, who's an Italian greyhound.
Wow. Well, I definitely, this show, we love dogs. I have a dog, Guinness, who's neither one of those breeds, but he would probably pal around with them, and he would definitely be at your heels, just like your dog if you open any kind of food. So there's people that can relate to that. So tell us about Wally the Whippet. Give us a little, we don't want to give away the whole story, but tell us a little bit about Wally.
Yeah, sure. So I guess Wally is a little kind of sassy whippet who's just desperate for food, and he ends up looking for it everywhere until he pretty much exhausts himself until he finds it, perhaps.
I like that, perhaps. So if you want to know the cliffhanger, you have to get the book. You can get them on Amazon. Okay, so Kay the Kelpie, what happens with Kay the Kelpie?
Kay the Kelpie is similar to Wally in that she has a best friend who's a stuffed animal, and she keeps it in a backpack and takes it everywhere she goes, and, you know, to the beach, camping, and then all of a sudden, one day, she wakes up and her best friend is missing. So similar, she exhausts herself until she maybe finds her again.
All right, I like that. Maybe, perhaps, and maybe. We've got two of those going on. What do you hope kids and even parents and, you know, aunts and uncles and whoever gets the books for whoever they read them to, what do you hope the takeaway is on both of the books?
Pretty much my messages are all about keep searching and you will get the answer. It kind of ties into resilience, and I think children even though it's a little bit sad that, you know, they go through these emotions, but just to show that there is a happy ending at the end, potentially. And if you keep looking for something, it'll happen for you.
So now after writing both of these books, will you do some more children's books?
It's so funny. Everywhere I go, people find out I've done books about my dog. They say, can you do my book next? Can you do my dog next? So I've got a long list of people who'd like it next, but eventually I would love to do the next book, possibly because Kay the Kelpie is actually my sister's dog. I would like to do one on my brother's rescue dog too.
Wow. I love that idea of everybody asking you, can you do my dog next? And what about the illustrations? Yeah. Who did the illustrations?
The publishing company actually put them together for me, but I drew them sort of really badly and told them exactly where I wanted things to go, and they brought the colors to life and all the fantastic things for me.
Well, that's okay. You had the imagination for that. And I want to make sure we mention this. Wally the Whippet, you've got an audio version of that too, right?
Yes, I do, yep.
All right, so you can, if you want to get the audio, you can get the audio, and again, all roads lead to Amazon. And we want to throw out your Instagram account for people who want to engage with you too.
Sure. It's author Jessica Mendes, and it's pretty much just me sometimes failing to be an author, fudging my way through life. And so it's a little bit of the dogs, a little bit of myself being a bit silly, and that's where you can find the link to all things book related to.
I love it. Have you always had an affinity for dogs?
Absolutely not. When I was growing up, we were not a dog family. I didn't know what joy and love dogs could bring to people until I sort of met my partner, and he was a beautiful package deal with the two dogs, and it was almost 5 years ago. And ever since meeting them, I thought, oh my goodness, what have I been missing out on all this time?
Wow. So that's great. So you adopted the love for the dogs.
Absolutely.
Wow. And then they become superstars in the meantime. So that's a pretty good deal for them.
It's funny you say that, because we were at a petrol station not too long ago, or gas station, you call them in America. And these young girls ran up to us with Frankie, the Italian Greyhound, and, oh my goodness, Kylie Jenner's dog. And they just become absolute rock stars.
I love it. I love it. Well, we can't wait to see what you do next. Again, you can find Jessica Mendes' books on Amazon, Wally the Whippet, Kay the Kelpie. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Wow. It's so interesting. After talking to Jessica, I have a discovery. I think that Guinness is part Kelpie. So I'm not sure, but it might be a DNA test. The Australian Kelpie is a sheepdog that can, it's kind of medium sized, and of course her book is just brilliant in the way she weaves the stories together. But the Kelpie has been exported throughout the world, right? So I found that out from somebody, and I was looking some things up about it. And what it does is it they call it muster. It musters livestock and sheep and cattle and goats. And there's the show Kelpie, and you've probably heard of that with the Westminster Dog Show. And the show Kelpie is a little bit different in some countries in the way it appears and that kind of stuff versus the working Kelpie, which is bred for ability rather than appearance. So I'm not sure for sure, except for that I know, like, it's so red. You know, the color of his coat is like the Kelpies that now I'm looking up and seeing. And it's a soft coated, that is Guinness, medium size, that is Guinness. The ears, the kind of the prick ears, the athletic appearance, just the way he stands. I think he is part retriever, golden retriever, and Kelpie. Wow, that's a crazy mix, isn't it? She'll get you thinking about dogs. You read her book, you start thinking about dogs. And then whippets. I see whippets sometimes out at the, you know, out the dog park, and they are so pretty. They kind of look like greyhounds, but they're a little bit smaller, and they have that inverted S line of the sighthound kind of, as they describe it. It's got the deep chest and the trim waist, and the slim and sturdy legs, and that it's just so agile, and just what an intense spirit. And they like to stretch out and they relax. That's my kind of dog, right? Great companions. They like a fenced yard to run in. Wow, how about that, right? But they're good in apartments. So for people that live in cities, and that's probably why I've seen more whippets living outside of the Dallas area, which is a huge city. I noticed I've seen a lot of whippets, and thanks to Jessica, I can identify them now, and they are really, really pretty dogs. I love the look, just their ears, their eyes, and they do look like, you know, people call whippets the poor man's racehorse. I say it's the rich man's racehorse. It's you know, the whippets are lightning quick, but they're very gentle, and they're very dignified. So cool. A couple of dogs to think about. And I love that people are suggesting, hey, what if, you know, my dog. I'm going to send a picture to Jessica and say, what about my dog? What about Guinness? Do a book. Anyway, she was a delight, as is this audience. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Remember, make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.